What's up and welcome. My name is Mikey Guru, your hairy host and guide through werewolf movies past and present, scene by scene. It's episode 6. Fucking hell. We're almost 15 minutes into Ginger Snaps at this point, and last episode, Bridget cleaned all the dog guts off her face. Dog guts indeed. Some kind of a macabre song about it. And Jason McCarty attempted to ask Ginger out, only to be blown off. We also established the fuck counter, which I named the episode after. Spoiler alert, light on the fucks this episode. I also dropped a little hint last time, and if by hint I mean flat out told you, that we would be meeting Ginger and Bridget's parents this episode. So what are they like? Let's look to the full moon. The girls are walking home from school, and we see one of the kids who was playing hockey in the beginning playing with his dog. It turns out that he is Norman's owner. And Bridget takes a Polaroid of the kid playing hockey. Now, this isn't something that made it into the final cut of the film, save for one line. And it doesn't really refer to anything that happens specifically, so you kind of don't know what's going on, and I'll point it out later. But there's a thing in the script, and indeed in sort of the deleted scenes of the film, called the Wall of Shame. So it's when something that like happens to the girls that they can like laugh at or whatever, you know, they take a Polaroid of it, take a Polaroid of themselves, and then they stick it to their Wall of Shame. Like after everyone laughs and, you know, makes a fucking stink over their presentation, Bridget takes a picture of herself in front of their locker and is like, oh, does this go on the wall? Is this wall worthy? And I assume that's what's going on here, you know, to commemorate Ginger being asked out or whatever. But, no reference made to it, and indeed, it doesn't really mean anything in the grand context of this film as it was released or the story in general, so that's just me being a fucking nerd. As mentioned before, Bridget seems upset. She looks to be very distraught at the notion that Ginger has been asked out, you know, this whole sisterly bond, the childish kind of, the very juvenile us against the world, it's our insular kind of, like, you know, we can fight it out all on our own. We don't have to be like them. You know, their time is coming in more ways than just, oh, we're turning 16, so we might have to kill ourselves soon. But enough of that psychoanalysis shit. We've got parents to meet. The sisters approach the driveway where their mom, Pamela Fitzgerald, is taking some dried fucking shit out of her mom van that she bought from Michael's, I guess. It's all like flowers and like hay and crap. She's wearing this ridiculous, like, pink winter coat and a dog brooch. It's like, I guarantee you she bought this, like, when the girls were born. I guess the girls were born in, like, 84, 85. So that would fall in line with the horrendous day-glow fucking colors that Pam's wearing. That's a thing I'd like to bring up right now, actually. I think I might have alluded to it in the first episode. I can't remember if I cut that line out. The wardrobes in this film are fucking awesome. The outfits and things. I mentioned that I was going to start the podcast as a Movies by Minutes podcast, but decided it would be, well, basically even more boring than it is now. But originally what I wanted to do was, I'm a big fan of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. Not so much The Next Generation. Eh. But there's an account on Instagram and on Tumblr. I think she also maintains a blog as well called Broomheads. It's Broomheadz. And it's basically a fashion blog about Degrassi. What they'll do is they'll take screen caps and just kind of analyze the outfits and give the opinions on the outfits of characters. And especially considering the show ran for a fairly long amount of time. I think it's off the top of my head like 6 seasons. But it's basically like 7 or 7.5 years just because of the shooting schedules were a bit irregular, like the breaks in between seasons. So you really get to see how the kids' styles mature throughout the years, and it's really fucking cool. So if you dig Degrassi Junior High or just late 80s fashion, follow Broomheads on Instagram. But I was going to start, I wanted to do an account like that for this movie just because there are so many good outfits. So big props to Leah Carlson, who did the wardrobe for this film. Dinner time. Ginger eats a lot of bread, and we meet their father, Henry, who is present physically, mentally, maybe not so much. doesn't seem to be the most caring parent, attentive person. He is physically capable of making children, so he made children, and now he don't know what to do with them. Poor Henry. In fairness, Pam doesn't really know what to do either, and is potentially maybe too hands-on for her own good. Although, as we will find out later, maybe she's not as hands-off as she seems. Maybe not as oblivious as she seems. I guess we'll find out. Ginger's still rubbing her back. Pam asks what's going on, like, hey, the fuck's your problem? Why are you rubbing your back? And she's like, ah, I think it was probably, you know, our project. I hurt my back from being dead, basically. You know, impaling yourself on a fence will do that to you. Pam, however, asks, do you think it's your period? Because, both girls are 3 years late menstruating. Yeah. This could potentially tie into the whole, like, you know, clinging to the vestiges of their childhood when they didn't really have any responsibilities, you know, and it could just be the sisters against everyone else. But obviously when you're an adult, you can't do that. As well, the whole comparison that you're basically beaten over the head with is like, oh my God, werewolves, they transform once a month and you get your period once a month. So a chick is like a werewolf. So if we have a chick werewolf who gets a period and then gets bitten by a werewolf, it'll be like duality and will be so fucking deep. I don't know why I made John Fawcett sound like he's from Oklahoma. I'm pretty sure he's from like Vancouver, but Ginger nearly chokes to death on some water at the notion of getting her period. Bridget just looks scared. And then the girls offer up alternatives.
Well, maybe it's cancer of the spine.
Ginger Ann.
Or tuberculosis.
See what your attitude does?
Or spondylitis.
Spondyl what?
Fuses your vertebrae together.
Nice.
Pam and Ginger then have some words, and there's a really, really awkward cut. Pam says, like, I've had about enough of that tone. And Ginger's supposed to say, that makes two of us. Fuck. Like that. Like, the fuck is like an exclamation. But there's a cut in between that makes two of us and fuck to a different camera angle. But the delivery of fuck does not match at all. I'll play it because I can't even imitate the way it is.
Well, I've had just about enough of that tone.
Well, that makes two of us. Fuck.
And I think this might actually be, well, aside from the fact that it's just the delivery doesn't really match, maybe the direction wasn't as tight or specific as it could have been, or it just didn't, because it is written that way in the script, that makes two of us. Fuck, you know. But the editing of the movie was also a bit, I don't want to say haphazard, because the editing is generally really well done in this movie, and it paces, like, the movie's pace is pretty breakneck. Obviously there's a lot more to the film than just the werewolf beats, so if you're going just by that as a general indicator of where the film's at, it seems normal, but stuff happens at an alarming rate in this movie because it's already pretty lean, but they came in a bit longer than they would have liked or longer than they would have wanted at a festival or some shit like that. So what they actually did was they just went in and trimmed a fraction of like a second or whatever off the head and tail of every shot. And then, you know, tampered with things that had to be like time sensitive that were, I don't know, cut to music or things like that, or that were cutting right in the middle of dialogue. But yeah, it's a really, really lean movie in that sense. It's really, I don't want to say tight because it would have been tight anyway because the editing is just well done. But it's kind of jumpy in parts. After the little disagreement, the girls get sent down to their dungeon. And Pam remarks that she doesn't want them going out tonight because the news says there's still a wild animal on the loose. Wow, I wonder what kind of animal that is. Guess we'll have to find out next time. So, as I remarked earlier, the fucks were light, the fucks were sparse. As I explained in extraneous detail earlier, there was only one fuck in the scene, you know, the whole little shot, so I don't have shit. So the total number of fucks so far in the movie as of 15 minutes and 9 seconds is 9. 9 utterances of the word fuck. We're almost at one fuck per minute, but I think by the end of the film we will have exceeded one fuck per minute, so place your bets on fuck frequency, fuck ratios. That's not a condemnation of ratios. I think ratios are pretty cool. That's a proper noun. Fuck ratios. And that about wraps it up for this time. We got a big episode ahead of us next week, so stay fucking tuned for that. As you know, because I guarantee this is the only place you're listening to this, I host all my episodes on Anchor, and they will actually aggregate your show to like iTunes, Pocket Cast, I think maybe Stitcher. I don't know. I can't remember. But to all the more popular hosts where people are actually looking for podcasts for you. So you just submit an episode and they'll submit your show on your behalf. And it said, I don't know if it says it anymore because it was not correct, but it said like, oh, give us a few days and you'll start to get notifications as your shows become available. But obviously it's been like a while since my show's come out and it's still not on iTunes or anything yet. So I will post on Facebook, you know, facebook.com/tothefullmoon. And on Instagram at To The Full Moon when the show becomes available on iTunes, and then I can beg you to rate 5 stars.
Hey guys, today we're going to be playing some werewolves. Yeah, comment, like, and subscribe, and donate to my Patreon. I fucking stream every day. Fucking Fortnite. I'm a pro gamer, so yeah, pay me.
And just as a little aside here, if you like the paranormal and cryptids and unexplained bullshit like that, you should check out The Night Shift
at night.
It's a show hosted by my friend McKenna and what's this other dickhead's name, Kellen is the other host's name. You don't know this, but it took me like 10 fucking minutes to look this up. I had to look this up. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a fucking awesome podcast. They have an episode out on Bigfoot already, and their second episode on the Black Dahlia should be coming out. If you're listening to this on Sunday, should be coming out on Tuesday. So check that out. You can follow them on Twitter at Night Shift Night and find them on SoundCloud. That's where their shows are. I actually did the opening song for it. So fucking check that shit out, boys. Anyway, that does it for this week. Fucking eat humans. I'm gonna go drink some more coffee.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.